peace. I hate the word. As I hate hell, all Montagues. And thee.
Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast where we double back on the movies that impacted us growing up as 90s kids and decide how whether they hold up today or best left in the past. I'm a little off my game because we have some guests here.
You're going to say I'm Tristan. That's
and I'm Tristan, but I'm also off my game because I'm plugged into a separate thing here and the other three people are all plugged into one unit. They can hear each other, all having a grand old time, and I'm in some separate thing over here.
Yeah, I can't hear you. It's weird.
It's weird.
You're not one of
less
us.
Less integrated. I'm here, guys. I'm
Do you
one
want me
of the
to
team.
Be the outsider?
Hey, Greg's also here.
Oh, and I'm Greg.
I'm Carol.
And I'm Ara. Hi.
Now, this has been long overdue because our poor old wives, they were promised a Romeo and Juliet episode almost a year ago when we went off in our pod retreat.
When they they were promised as in we promised that they had to do one.
Yeah, but that we promised it would be Romeo and Juliet.
That's true.
And then we made them do Nowhere to Run with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm.
Now, I mean, blessing in disguise, I know you guys love that film, but we felt like we owed you guys.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, so we're here to do Romeo Must Die, I believe. That's what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
All my notes are about Romeo Must Die.
Yeah. Offshoot of the same.
It's in the same universe.
Yeah. Mm. So that movie, of course, that we are doing, all jokes aside, is 1996's Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo plus Juliet.
Romeo plus Juliet.
William Shakespeare's Romeo
Williams
plus Juliet.
Shakespeare? Oh, this is going to be fun.
Guys, we've also had a couple of wines.
Yeah. The girls had some nerves. Well, at least Carol had some nerves.
I had some nerves too.
Ira had some nerves.
I'm delighted you both got so dolled up to be on radio.
Well, I was nervous because it was easier doing the Jean-Claude Van Damme one. Because we both...
There's no pressure.
There was no
pressure.
Well,
correct. We didn't... We've never heard of it. It was shit. We just kind of ripped into it. You have to go listen
it was
to
this
that
shit,
episode.
I think.
You what, took the words out of my mouth, Carol.
But this one we chose, this one has great significance in our lives.
Huge significance.
Yeah. So, pressure.
There
nervous.
Is pressure. Well, before we get into the movie, with guests... Yeah. What Greg and I like to do is some rapid-fire questions.
Yeah.
To help our listeners get a sense of who these people are. They've heard of you. They know you're our wives. They've heard many and varying stories. But what makes you tick? How can we help calibrate in their brains exactly where you're coming from?
Yes.
So, Greg, you want to hit them with some of them things?
Yeah. Okay. Question the first. Mariah or Whitney?
Mariah. Whitney.
Ooh.
Oh, there we go.
I didn't expect you to say that.
That's cool.
A rift has formed.
Get out.
As planned.
Like in dignity.
Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling?
Reynolds. Gosling.
Oh.
Interesting.
Who are you?
Who are you?
I don't
even know you anymore.
This is awkward. Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling or Tristan and Greg?
Tristan.
She didn't even want Greg. She just said Tristan.
It was a package deal.
Yeah, fair enough. I wouldn't want Tristan either.
You're going to take the whole thing.
Oh, it was a duo thing.
The Ryans are the double impact boys.
Okay. G&T then, G&T.
Chad and Alex.
Good answer. Yeah. I'll take that.
We're still going with Pammy, I guess.
Yeah, okay, go.
Pamela Anderson or Sally Field?
One. Two. I'd like to say for the record that your
Sally Field's a babe.
Obsession, interest in Sally Field reflects poorly on your wife.
Why? Why?
Wait, Sally Field circa when?
Prime.
Prime Field. No, in Lincoln.
She means
Lincoln.
In Forrest Gump.
I thought she was confession. I thought she was pretty hot in Forrest Gump.
At the end?
No, at the end. And she was a young mom just hustling to support her son. I was into that.
Pammy Anderson.
I think Pammy Anderson.
Yeah, that's fair. Sorry. I mean, it's Pammy for me too. We've got to change that. What did I change it? I was going to change it to the step-by-step mom.
Hey, The Notebook or Clueless?
Ooh, Clueless. 100%.
I think Clueless
too. Yeah, I think you're Clueless as well.
Yeah.
All right.
You just don't have to be different every time, Ara.
Over the years, Notebook's been ruined for me.
Why?
Because he's actually quite a dick.
Is he? One of those movies, isn't it?
Like when you really like think about what he's doing, he's a dick.
And you know, the internet has highlighted.
He's actually quite problematic.
Yeah, that's it.
Problematic.
I should have said that with my eyes closed, sorry. Final question. Clueless or Nowhere to Run? I guess this might be a stupid question, Nowhere to Run. One of the classic denim westerns of the Jean-Claude Van Damme filmography. So we're going with that, Nowhere to Run?
Yeah, sure.
There you have it, folks. Rapid fire question time. Wow.
Did you learn a little bit about our wives? I certainly did.
Yeah.
Guys, I want you to cast your minds back to a year that many have come to call 1996. Where were you guys? What were you doing? We're the same age, Carol. Ara, you were 5 or so.
I was 10.
You were 10.
I was 10 years old. I was at school.
Oh, you were at school. Yeah. Did you watch this when it came out in cinema?
I don't think I went to the cinema to watch this. But honestly, I have no recollection of my life.
Well, let me.
In my tens.
She doesn't remember the last 5 years.
Are you like Jason Bourne?
Remains to be seen because I'm potentially.
Sort of I had to ask my friends about 1996, 97 because I was like, I've got a goldfish memory. I can't quite remember.
This question is not good for the wives.
It's actually quite painful because when Ara and I first met, I was broke as a joke, as they say. And I'd save up my pennies to take it to a fancy restaurant. One of those fancy restaurants where I'd have to go home and eat after because the portions were so damn small.
Aww.
And, so you know, I'd spend my whole – and I'd go home and eat fucking canned tomatoes and rice so that this one could have a delightful anniversary and whatnot. Years later, we've gone to New York. We moved back. This is like 10 years later or something. We drive past the restaurant and I say, hey, remember when I took you there for whatever, whatever? No. Breaks my heart. Oh. But
money
I was expecting
well,
this.
Money
so
well spent.
Exactly, right? It was an investment, I suppose.
Well, yeah exactly. You guys might not be married if you didn't take her there.
That's
all,
right.
It
Why
all
you just
counts.
Tell her you did?
All counts.
Remember that
well, since then, of course. Now, I, knowing of your memory challenges, I thought maybe I'd recap the films that came out around the same time as this particular picture. The year was 1996. The number one movie in the world that year was Independence Day. I believe this kicked off the July dominance of Will Smith for the next five years or so.
The millennium.
Twister was number 2. Mission Impossible was number 3. The Rock, number 4.
The Rock, the movie, not the person.
Not the actual.
Like,
but you remember when like Greg puts on a turtleneck and a beanie? He looks like Sean Connery from The Rock.
That was with the age filter app.
Not even.
It wasn't, was it?
Yeah.
I've got big eyebrows. That's all it is.
They're going to age into that nicely.
I am the last one.
There you go. Space Jam came out this year too, folks. Mars Attacks, which we've covered. First Wives Club, which is the movie I wanted to do with you guys since you're our first wives, but you seem to have a problem with it.
That's right. That got vetoed, didn't it?
From Dusk Till Dawn. Fargo.
Oh.
Striptease. But, of course, coming in at number 23 in 1996 was a little film called Romeo and Juliet.
We probably get into this later, but at the time I'm like, this is amazing, this is groundbreaking. But then it didn't do that well in the box office.
I mean, it did pretty well.
Or the awards and stuff.
Yeah, in the awards and that kind of thing, not so much. But it definitely did better than they expected.
Didn't Leo and Claire win hottest couple in a drama, comedy, Shakespeare movie at the VMAs?
In TV Hits magazine.
Yeah. Nickelodeon probably. Awards.
Yeah, probably.
We didn't get slimed.
So this particular picture, directed, co-produced and co-written by Mr. Baz Luhrmann, came out in November 1996, budget of $14.5 million with a gross of $151.8 million. So that return on movie investment there is high. So while it wasn't at the top of the charts, as an investment.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Baz banks.
At this point, he's only done Strictly Ballroom.
Also banked.
Mm. Oh, really?
So this was his second.
Oh.
He's only done five.
Very confident.
Interesting.
He's a confident man.
Mm.
Interestingly, Mr. Roger Ebert only gave it 2 out of 4. So Ebert said, I've seen King Lear as a samurai drama, Macbeth as a mafia story, and two different Romeo and Juliets about ethnic difficulties in Manhattan, both West Side Story and China Girl. But I've never seen anything remotely approaching the mess that the new punk version of Romeo and Juliet makes of Shakespeare's tragedy.
Oh, yeah. He tends to often say what I think but articulates it better.
That's is that what you think about the movie, Greg?
We'll get into that.
We'll get into that. But I think before we get into how we feel about it now, you guys picked this movie. I'd love to get a sense of why. It's an important one for both of you. You are unified on this. You're divided on the Ryans. You're divided on the Mariahs and the Whitneys of the world. But you are united in your love for Romeo and Juliet. Now, why is that? What's going on there?
So you were talking about casting your mind back. So 1996, but, you know, the movie came out in 97 because Singapore.
Right.
Oh.
It's delayed.
Right.
This was peak Carol going out with her friends for the first time era.
Sticker photos and such.
Yes.
Yeah.
Neoprints. And then, so we go to Shaw Center, watch movies. That was the thing. This was definitely something we watched in the cinema. We loved all the boys. Our age group were wearing the big Mambo shirts.
Really?
With the baggy jeans. Yeah, it was a whole thing. It was just like permeated through our
– the fashion permeated?
Yeah.
That was Montague.
It was the Montagues, correct.
As a result of this movie, right.
Well, I don't know what came first.
Yes, it was the vibe.
Yeah, it was definitely around the same time or maybe a little bit after.
Chicken or the Mambo. Yeah.
And then we did this at school. So we did the play in lit at school.
Wow, was it lit?
It was so lit.
Who did you play?
No, we didn't. It was for literature. So it's like
the. Oh, you studied it.
Oh, I thought you meant like in theater.
Mm. No. We dissected the play and it was like a whole thing. Like, and then
we did it as well at high school.
Yeah, our teachers were like, "Yeah, you can't watch the Baz Luhrmann one. You have to watch the
Zaffirelli from '68 or whatever."
Yeah, because it's not true to the text.
Juliet was we watched that.
She was beautiful.
She was a babe. She was such a babe.
Gorgeous. I forgot her name. Like up to here because of the corset.
Yeah, the corset. And Romeo was a babe too. We watched an interview with him yesterday, didn't we?
They were both babelicious.
They were both babes. It was the DiCaprio of his day, perhaps. He was quite a babe.
So yeah, I waffled on a bit, but yeah, it was a big. Mm. I think it was a big deal. With my goldfish memory, I had to piece it all together with my friends.
I feel like
that was a big deal.
Were able to get like a full picture, whereas I still have no memory.
Well, it doesn't have to be your first memory. Can it
what are we
be
doing here and who are you?
I don't know who I am.
I think what's interesting, I'm sure it's the same for you, Carol, but with you, wife, I think we've been together for a while and through the years this movie has remained relevant.
Yes. It is.
So maybe you don't remember the first memory isn't the first time you watched it, but it's always stayed with you.
So you know what?
What are some of the highlights?
If I look back, my first memory of this was actually through the magazine covers.
Yeah.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was the cover star.
What a babe.
Same era, JTT and Devon Sauer, the floppy blonde hair, skinny.
100%.
Devon Sauer, I take umbrage with this. Am I using that word correctly? He wasn't in anything.
He was in Now and Then and Casper.
He was in Casper for 8 seconds at the end. That's bullshit.
Oh, he's Casper, isn't he?
Yeah, because this is the thing. All the girls are talking about Devon Sauer.
But that's enough.
Not in
Now and Then, Casper, that's enough.
No, but he's only when Casper comes to life. Is he not in it earlier?
No. I mean, he might be the voice or something. Yeah. He might not even be the voice. I don't know.
And then Final Destination later.
Later. Yeah,
but that's, I was a grown man.
That's the tail end. And then Stan, obviously.
And then now, valid. No, we don't.
In Stan.
What's Stan?
Hope you can't sleep and you scream about it.
Oh, my God.
What with your daughters and these waters?
Sorry. I
don't
digress.
Speak ill of Devon Sauer. He was like, if you know the main poster, which all the other posters, you know, kind of formed around. Yeah. He was at my main poster.
It is pretty fascinating from a male point of view because he wasn't. I never knew don't who be he was. Jealous. I was jealous. I was jealous because I didn't know who he was, and I'm like, who's this competition?
Who's all this like hypothetical competition?
Yeah, hypothetical competition. Yeah,
but you didn't have the hair for this era.
Yeah,
you had brunette the curls.
No, I didn't have curls then.
You didn't have curls.
I had curly came with red my hair. Maturity. What era would that have been appropriate to? Because I don't know of any. As far as I know, curly red has been bullied since the dawn of time.
Oh, maybe I like the 16th curly
century
red.
Elizabethan.
Maybe like the Wildings from
the Game of Thrones.
Ygritte.
Yeah,
Ygritte.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see that.
It is funny though that times have changed in the sense, you know, the blonde, floppy hair, skinny guy was the model of
it's coming back. K-pop,
the heartthrob.
Baby.
Hot throb.
Yeah. It's coming
now,
back.
Heartthrob?
Heartthrob. But now.
What's a hotthrob?
That works too.
That's double time.
They're all like these 20-something-year-olds pretending to be teenagers in high school with like full 8-packs and like muscly arms. It's such a different vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right because I think even with this movie, I mean, we'll get into it more, but no, actually, this is the appropriate time, isn't it? Even with this movie, I remember thinking at the time that I thought Leo looked like a fit guy as a 12-year-old human myself. I was like, oh, this guy's got it all. Now, as a through a 2020 lens, I'm like, this guy is a rake. This is, I mean, don't get me wrong.
Lift the bar.
Yeah,
you can't go with it. 20 kilo barbell.
If you're not lifting, you're not growing. But
great hair.
Great mega hair. Babe. He had the floppy hair. He had it all. We'll get more into the rewatch.
The jawline. Yes. And but also they hired 12, him.
He's 12, guys. Just
no, they hired 21. Him specifically because he looked a bit prepubescent.
He
was they chose him.
He well, and that's why we all went. The girls of that time went crazy for it.
He had a bit of a case of the Biebers where he didn't really hit puberty till he was like 30 or something. Because it wasn't until like The Departed.
I feel like he's only hitting it now.
Yeah,
he's got a beard.
Yeah, but it wasn't until The Departed where I was like, oh, he's a man. He was like kind of a child. I've always felt it was out of place.
He was quite youthful.
It was still youthful, but it was
borderline.
Borderline, but it was the first for me. The first tipping over.
He's put on a bit of weight. I think that's done him a world of good.
And the facial 100%. Hair.
The facial hair, but even just, I guess he wasn't. I don't think he ever wanted to be a heartthrob necessarily, except for maybe some pussy cred. But he never really worked for me as like the Titanic guy. I thought that should be a more like.
Never seen it.
You never saw Titanic?
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
That's getting bumped up the list. Wow.
That's a bit weird.
I've seen parts of it.
But I always thought like a Ryan Gosling would be a good Titanic. He looks like a child on Titanic. He doesn't look like a burly.
This is my Ryan Gosling.
Well.
It's pretty good.
I think he has a similar
it's
vibe.
It's pretty good.
To who? To Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling.
At that point, he
but
not
like
yet.
At when they first came out or first became popular, like The Notebook, Ryan Gosling, and Leo.
I think
Titanic,
The Notebook, Ryan Gosling.
Blonde hair.
The Notebook, Ryan Gosling had more.
Well, that's true.
I could look at the Ryan Gosling in The Notebook. I could imagine my grandfather being that guy, kind of thing. Whereas DiCaprio on Titanic. That might have been like my grandfather's weak friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to get into like a, not to sound too toxic masculinity on that one, but he doesn't seem like the rugged guy that's going to sweep off
DiCaprio?
Her feet.
What did he ever do to you?
Never invited him to the Pussy Bossy.
I love him. Half of my notes are, when we get into the rewatch are about what a babe this guy is, but I just mean in terms of his career at this point, I mean, this was a big one. This was the launching pad. But Titanic came right after, and I feel like it set him on the wrong course personally, as like heartthrob, when it wasn't necessarily.
Oh, but that happens.
It happens.
Colin Farrell,
Johnny Depp,
others.
They have to reject them. Greg and Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
D&T.
It's the age-old tale.
D&T.
Now, for me, you may be surprised to hear that this was actually a big movie for me too. So I saw this.
I am.
I believe I was 12 years old, I guess, and we used to go to Coffs Harbour every second year. My stepdad at the time, his family lived in Coffs Harbour, and we'd go for Christmas every second year. And there was a cinema there and a Hog's Breath Cafe. I think that was the main things you could do there.
Yep.
So we go to the movies a bit. And that year, I believe we went to the cinema the first time and I made everyone, including like step cousins and shit. I was the youngest. I made everyone watch Space Jam and I couldn't understand why they were so angry at me.
Why wouldn't they not want to watch Space Jam?
I was like, Space Jam, but it's Michael Jordan and the cartoon.
Bugs Bunny.
What are you not understanding?
That's a valid question.
Yeah. I mean, they're all idiots, I guess. But then...
What did they want to watch?
Romeo and Juliet, which I believe we ended up watching. And I think, I can't remember specifically, but it must have affected me in some way because I was into it. I was really into it. And it wasn't the kind of movie that was, it wasn't filling the schoolyard banter in any way. But there were a couple of guys at school that also liked this movie. The type, you know, the kinds of friends that I haven't even spoken to since then. But at the time, I think we bonded over this. We're like, it's so fucking cool though, right? Like, how cool is that? And they got the guns, but the gun says sword on it. So then when they say sword, it's actually the guns. Like, we're so into it. And the cars, and how cool is like, to bolt it, you know, all these. We loved it. And even the soundtrack, we were into it. Quentin Tarantino, yada, 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 yada.
Of course.
And we would even just like kind of, we'd put the soundtrack on at each other's house and be like,
I've seen this movie 17 times. I've seen it 18 times.
It was kind of closeted. Well, like, it wasn't something you'd brag about, but between this little trio, we were like, fucking love this, fucking love this.
Oh, really?
Because it was so different. You know how you guys talk about your what you have on your shelf, filmmaker wannabe Tristan had on his shelf. This would be if it was released a bit later. It was 100%. Just so different that you'd be like, I'm so cool because I like this movie.
Well, I think I brought up before I wanted to make a Western.
Mm.
And my idea for this Western was basically like the way this film was made in every way. Like the fast zoom ins and all the hecticness of that. But years later, I would meet a young woman at work named Mara. And she loved this movie and she drove a bright red Jeep and she had the soundtrack on in the car all the time. And it kind of became our soundtrack.
She's cool. 100%.
It became our soundtrack. That song, but it's always
you and me, always and forever.
Greg is so angry right now, guys.
This song, it's such a good song.
That was like kind of our, we'd go out and do things song.
It is a very like.
Did you hold hands while she was driving?
Well, I would have to meet Ara up the street because she didn't want people to know we were dating.
Because we had that.
But we were working together, guys.
We also worked together. So we met on the corner, far away from the actual.
We were very appropriate. About?
You tried to pass me in front of the whole team like the first week we were dating.
Edit this out.
So it was big for me. Now we've saved. We saved maybe the most controversial for last here. Gregory Carney. Gregory Carney, I want to hear your history with this movie.
No, I wasn't really into it. I remember it was popular with the girls.
Yeah.
I did love the Quindin Tava songs though.
Yeah.
Bah, bah, bah. So I can't.
Was your voice like that back then? I could imagine you might have been.
Yeah. I don't know what I think I sounded similar to now. But, yeah, there's two numbers he has in this. And back in the day,
I always thought it was the same song, you're right.
It was quite – unless you had the CD single,
yeah,
it was kind of hard to come across. You couldn't just – kids of today, they can just get on there with the internet and find what they're looking for.
Yeah.
A bit harder back then. So I didn't have as much direct access. I think my sister got the CD single of Doves Cry.
Right.
And I would have listened to that a lot. His voice is incredible.
Mm. It's so good.
Incredible. Mm. It's Michael Jackson-esque.
They wanted a young Stevie Wonder. That was the brief.
Man, we'll probably talk about him in a bit. Yeah. But that's probably my clearest memory. I remember the whole, the gun, they call them, they've written swords in it, so they talk about the swords.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, yeah.
It was cool.
No, yeah, but for me, I wasn't into it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've talked about it before. Mid-90s movies. But the three of us are in the same boat. Greg was a meaningful 2 years older.
Yeah.
That's important. Right.
That's important.
It's a lot of age.
Wait, so how old are you in this?
For us.
That's the biggest gap. From 12 to 14, that's a huge gap.
Yeah, it's
that's
called true. Puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's off there watching Good Cop, Bad Cop on repeat with, Pamela Anderson and such. Oh, no, you're probably watching a Sally Field picture. But, but you get the idea.
Sally was a creeper for me.
Fried right? Green tomatoes.
Is she in that?
I don't think so. Is
she? First you said, I think so. Hang on.
She might be.
I don't know.
Yeah, it works, so, though. Yeah. I remember the spectacle that was surrounding this film.
But how about the Claire Danes angle?
Oh yeah, sorry. I thought she was a mega babe.
Really? I did not.
I did. Which probably was reserved for that moment of my life.
Interesting. I've got the complete opposite. I was like, why'd you have her as Juliet?
I thought
and
she
then
was
in more
pretty.
Recent years I've realized she's a babe.
That was my type back then. Like a mousy plain sort of
man, I grew up, I was still in the world of like.
Not reflecting well on me.
Back then.
Darling, you're heaps plain. No. I didn't mean that.
His ideal woman is a bit of Sally Field, a bit of Juliet.
No, I thought she was, I did think she was a babe when I was a kid.
She is a babe. They're not wrong. Like, she's a babe.
I mean, she's a Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like she's Juliet, for fuck's sake. They're not. Casting.
Yeah, she's not there to be odd looking.
Susan Boyle or something, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone that's not attractive that wouldn't be offensive.
She would have a great singing voice for the musical version of
Romeo. For the musical version, perhaps.
I dream a dream of Romeo.
All right, well, I feel like we've been well acquainted with our history of the film. Should I get into the origin story?
We're an hour in.
Yes, please.
Origin story.
In the tradition of Double Impact and Tommy Boy, Baz Luhrmann had the idea to adapt a historical piece of literature into a modern film.
Yeah. Tommy Boy?
Tommy Boy was Hamlet.
Of course.
Double Impact, the Corsican Brothers. Not of the same period, but you know. So Baz Luhrmann, not very original, is kind of what I'm saying. I guess you saw Double Impact and was like, ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Got an idea.
Where's my spoon?
Wait, Double Impact would be the one that's where they kind of play each other. There's another
Shakespearean
one.
It's not a Shakespeare one. It's by Alexandre Dumas.
It's French writer. It's French. Shakespeare was English, actually.
Now, way before Double Impact, actually, this is interesting. The idea of Romeo and Juliet existed way before Double Impact. In fact, it was written somewhere between 1591 and 1595, so the mid-90s.
So it's the 25th anniversary of the film this year, but it's the 424th anniversary of the play this year.
Exactly.
Wow.
Now you're exactly right, Carol. And I thought it was interesting that this thing written in the mid-90s came out in the mid-90s 400 years later.
Oh, it's almost serendipitous.
It's serendipitous. However, what if I told you that this play itself was an adaptation of something that existed earlier? It's based on a book from 1562, back in the swinging 60s of the 1500s, called The Tragical History of Romeus and Juliet by Arthur Brooke.
Oh, is that Albert, any relation to Albert Brooks?
I assume so.
Yeah.
The Scorpio of his day.
Yeah.
Now, that was retold in prose in William Painter's Palace of Pleasure in 1567. And Shakespeare is understood to have taken from both of these versions. But in his version, he would dial up Mercutio and Paris being the Paul Rudd character. So that was the mid-90s of the 1500s. We fast forward to the mid-90s of the 1900s, and Mr. Baz Luhrmann, after watching Double Impact, as we've discussed, he's made a film called Strictly Ballroom, very small budget film. There's a beautiful coke sign in it, Paul Mercurio, yada, yada, yada. Sonia Kruger's in it, by the way.
Yeah, she's one of the other dancers.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
I've seen it, but I can't really remember. But a lot of people saw it as it turned out because it was a roaring success.
In Australia,
yeah, but I think overseas.
I really want to watch it because, you know.
Well, I always remember there was Strictly Ballroom, Muriel's Wedding, and
The Castle. Hands? The Castle?
No.
The Castle.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, yeah, I always get Strictly confused.
I feel like this trio of movies were the ones that were making it overseas. And I was, as an Australian, I remember being like proud of like, yeah, we're taking on the world.
Yeah.
I'm very proud also was Mr. Baz Luhrmann, writer, director of Strictly Ballroom. He would go on to think carefully about his next project. I mean, Baz Luhrmann, he'd done one movie at this point, but even now he's only done 5 movies. So this is not the kind of guy that just runs out for the next director for hire type of project.
Oh yeah, he's a considered choiceman.
He's a what's the word there? What's the word?
An auteur.
Auteur, yeah. Auteur.
Wait, what happened to choiceman?
I never know how to say that. A choiceman. It's a real choiceman. Now he says our philosophy has always been that we think up what we need in our life, choose something creative that will make that fulfilling, and then follow that road. With Romeo and Juliet, what I wanted to do was to look at the way in which Shakespeare might make a movie of one of his plays if he was a director. How would he make it? We don't know a lot about Shakespeare, but we do know he would make a movie. He was a player. We know about the Elizabethan stage and that he was playing for 3,000 drunk punters from the street sweeper to the Queen of England, and his competition was bear baiting and prostitution. So he was relentless. He was a relentless entertainer and a user of incredible devices and theatrical tricks to ultimately create something meaningful and convey a story. That was what we wanted to do. So it's basically saying, you don't even necessarily think of Shakespeare as this. You think of him as a do-do-do-do-do, you know, fancy man. But he was ultimately the blockbuster guy of his day. Yeah. He had to have 4 quadrant smashes from the prostitution customers to the queen, you know?
Yeah.
So
telling stories for every person.
Exactly. So in his mind, he's like, if Shakespeare's alive today, how would he make Romeo and Juliet? The rest is history. But I will go into it.
Yeah. I mean, I might retort.
Yeah.
That Shakespeare perhaps wouldn't have done this film.
This particular one?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Would he have made 10 Things I Had About You, perhaps?
I hope so.
Uh-oh, yeah.
I never saw that.
Romeo Must Die.
He would have done Romeo Must Die. How good would that be? Shakespeare lives to the 1900s. He's like, guns? Fucking A, man. Martial arts.
Guns and Chinese Kung Fu.
DMX. Was DMX in that?
I think he was.
Aaliyah was in it.
What's his name's in it? Aaliyah's in it.
Oh. Is it it?
Carol's got an answer.
His character's name was Silk.
Who's in it?
Who?
DMX.
Oh, he's in it, yeah.
He's in it.
Man, I can't even place him in it. I've seen that movie a lot.
Now, he didn't have – I guess the thing with doing Shakespeare is in some form you have the beginnings of a script already. The only other part that he knew is that he wanted Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Gonna make a movie. My only condition is I need Leonardo DiCaprio.
If this is the kind of movie where it's so dependent on casting, you're gonna make Romeo. It has to be like the perfect beb.
Oh, I don't know. Is that a statement or is that a quote? Like,
that's not a quote, but that's what he was going for. He's like, I want to get the guy.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
You don't think he's a Romeo?
But he didn't know that he was the guy.
What?
Baz Luhrmann didn't know that Leo was the guy.
Well, he did. So Ara and I watched some interview with Baz last night and he was basically saying, I needed the guy. He saw what was a paparazzi shot of Leonardo DiCaprio and goes, oh, fuck, a guy like that, if only he could act, that would be my Romeo.
What a babe. That's what he said.
Yeah, what a babe.
Yeah, quite fair enough.
What a babe. That's Romeo. If only he could act. Little did he know he was an actor. He'd done The Basketball Diaries. He'd done What's Eating Gilbert Grape. He'd done one small scene in Growing Pains or a few scenes. I think he was recurring in that. But he was an actor.
Bit screamy in this, though.
Bish, bash, yeah, well, we'll get into that because I tend to agree.
Yeah.
No, we'll get into that.
We need to talk about the screaming.
Yeah. I don't think he's the – yeah. He's in. Something happens in between, but he's in. He's so in that he spends his own money to bring him and his pussy posse to Sydney to help Baz shoot a teaser to show producers to get this thing funded. Because you can imagine those days, yeah, in those days, especially using the old-timey dialogue and everything, no one's that interested in this. But they kind of work together to make this thing come to life. And they're like, yeah, this guy's a babe. Let's just make a movie with this guy. Whatever you want to do, let's fucking do it. And so they do.
Haveth thee some faith.
Yeah, haveth ye some faith.
Oh, I was very worried that Greg would spend the whole episode
speaking old doing
that. Because he was doing that when we were watching the movie.
About half an hour in before you got us my...
The floodgates are open.
The floodgates are open, correct.
No, the door's open the floodgates for Greg to leave.
Now.
Oh. Ba-dum-tsh. No sound effects.
Now, while Leo was always going to be Romeo, it was somewhat harder to find his Juliet. Now, at one point it was Natalie Portman, who was 14 at the time. To be fair, Leo looked quite young, especially in the casting stages of this. And they were like, maybe that could work. Once they got him together, they were like, yeah, nah, it's a bit creepy.
Yeah, 21.
He was 21, by the way.
Yeah, like quite literally. Fair. He's 21, she's 14. That's just not cool, right?
Well, have you seen Leon?
Yeah, exactly.
Interestingly, Juliet is meant to be 13 in the play.
Well, that's the thing. And so he's meant to be young too, right? I think he's meant to be 16 or something. Yeah. And he looks 16. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, you can't really get away from the fact he's 21 and she's 14.
Yeah, when it comes
it would just be not cool.
Yeah, no, not cool.
Sarah Michelle Gellar had to turn it down.
She had some homework to do?
No, she was she was on a soap at that point, All My Children or something. But Jane Campion said, you got to check out this television program called My So-Called Life. There's a young actress in it. Her name's Claire Danes. That's your Juliet. Bish, bash, bosh, you got Juliet. Now, they shot this thing in Miami. They shot this thing in Mexico City. They shot this thing in Boca del Rio.
Boca del Rio?
Del Boca Vista. and somewhere between these three places, hairstylist Aldo Signoretti was kidnapped by a gang of gangsters. I believe I was multitasking when I did my notes. By a gang of gangsters and held for $300 ransom.
$300 US.
$300 ransom.
What a bargain.
I would be pissed off if I got taken for $300. But come on.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I mean, they didn't pay it. He's
we can
dead.
Do better.
No, they paid it, but he did break a leg. But that's what they say in show business.
They do.
Right?
They do.
But that's where it comes from.
Break a leg.
One can assume.
I know where it comes from.
Another little behind the scenes tidbit. The sets you see, they're hand built. They got torn down by a real tornado.
Ooh.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. Life imitating art. Art imitating, yeah.
And that's where they got the idea for The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. It's true. The timeline, it's not non-linear, but it adds up. Bish Bash Bosh, you go yourself a movie rap party, The Viper Room.
That'd be a good rap party.
It would be bad.
I say that quite often.
No, quite often. Because you got the pussy posse.
Oh, so that would be enough. Loose. Let's play the trailer.
Here we go.
Did my heart love till now? Forswear at sight, for I never saw true beauty till this night.
In fair Verona, where we lay our scene, two households, both alike in dignity.
Throw your mistempered weapon to the ground!
From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life.
Who is it that you love?
Gentle Romeo, if thou dost love, pronounce it faithfully.
My heart's dear love is set on the fair daughter of rich Capulet. You may not see
me when you come by. Romeo! Thou art a villain!
Sharing someone else's
turn and draw!
Turn and draw!
Romeo's so simple!
My only love sprung from my only hate.
Romeo is banished.
See thee, they will murder thee.
Let them find me here.
A plague! I'm proud to you!
DiCaprio, Claire Danes in William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
Good trailer.
I mean, we all took pee breaks. I don't know how many of us saw that trailer, but it was a good one.
We all did wheeze. Except Seymour and Ara.
The guy that always does the trailer, what's his name?
Don
LaFontaine.
That wasn't him though.
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
Was
it? Because I was like, there? That's a big ask for Mr. Don to like, hey, by the way, instead of the usual trailers that you do, can you do Shakespearean, old-timey English?
Don motherfucking LaFontaine.
Do you know, maybe.
He could do it.
He does it all.
He basically wrote Shakespeare with his voice.
Because you know how there's different voices and sometimes we go, oh, that's the other guy, not LaFontaine. It's probably still LaFontaine. He just has a different persona or something.
I would love to have heard the great, because he's passed. He's long passed, unfortunately. Oh. Wouldn't you love to hear him give trailers for the whole back catalogue of Shakespeare's works?
Yeah.
In a port. One man. Port. That's Merchant of Venice.
A pound of flesh.
There you go. Yeah. In a wood. With some fairies.
Oh, you know quite a few Shakespearean titles.
Don John the Bastard. Much ado
I thought
about
you
nothing.
Were going to go like if he this summer, did one current came. Films like Twilight.
Oh, like, well, he still would though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would if it was alive. Like I feel like they retired the VO with him passing away. It's like retiring MJ's jersey. Respect. Now, yeah. You may have noticed this episode's a little bit different to usual in that there's four of us. And we were thinking, you know, usually this is where Greg does a little plot recap, but we thought we might pass that responsibility onto the wives.
Yeah.
So what the hell?
Seems you got us into this mess.
What the hell happened in this movie?
I feel you guys might not know this, but Greg actually does prep for this podcast. Surprise. Oh. and he actually, you know, gives a bit of thought into the synopsis of the movie.
He certainly
where
does.
Where I feel like Ara and I have not.
Now, no pressure at all. Blah, but blah, you guys blah, know blah, this blah, like blah. The back of your hand.
And it's a love story.
It's a love story. That's what I had in my head. I was like, and it's a love story.
So you know where you want to end up. Take
and
us
go.
There.
Well, this is well-trodden territory, really, because there's with a lot of Shakespearean plays, they actually give it all away up front. They tell you the ending. They tell you what's going to happen.
They do?
They do.
Often called the prologue.
No.
Yeah, girl.
Messy terms.
I'm prologue.
So we were just going to do that. But yell it.
Go for it.
Two households.
Both alike in dignity. In Fair Verona, where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge, break to new mutiny.
Where civil blood makes civil hands unclean.
From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of
star-crossed lovers take their lives.
Overthrows. Something, strike.
All are punished.
All are punished.
Oh, they do say that at the beginning, do they?
Yeah.
That's what I was asking you.
So they say all are punished at the beginning?
No, they just tell you the whole story in the first 5 minutes.
Which is interesting because the whole movie, Ara pointed this out, the opening is like a trailer for the movie.
Yes.
It's quite cool.
And the whole thing is all like, you know, foreshadowing, whatever. So
yeah.
I'm like, listen to your gut, people. And so is do that, the thing that you think is going to happen.
Is that a standard thing with Shakespeare that the opening does kind of just tell, it's like a synopsis almost?
I'm not sure, but expect? Definitely in Romeo and Juliet.
I guess you wouldn't see trailers in Elizabethan England or whatever. Like it's not like you catch the trailers. So maybe they do that at the beginning to like stick around. It's
yeah. Yeah, like maybe don't leave.
They mightn't have understood all the words either. So maybe like, I'm going to tell you what happens. So when I doeth this, you just go, yeah, I kind of heard it, so I get it. I got some context here.
Mm. And it's a love story between Mercutio and Romeo.
Oh.
But also Romeo and Juliet.
And also Mercutio and Tybalt. Forbidden love.
Oh. Who's Tybalt?
John Leguizamo.
Love him.
In fine form.
Oh, so good.
This is the coolest John Leguizamo has ever been, ever will be.
Yeah, he was
great. Is the coolest. And as a young man seeing this, I'm like, he's so fucking cool. And he's been, well, this is harsh, but it's been sort of a disappointing career. I mean, he's had a successful career, but in terms of the stuff I want to see, it's not really my jam.
I feel like he's only like 54.
Oh, he's still going. Yeah, don't get me wrong. And he's done like some, he did Spike Lee, The Summer of Sam. He did Spawn. But he did like all these dumb.
Yeah, I agree. He should lean into the cool.
He's fucking cool. He's so fucking cool. I don't know, he's a comedian too, so maybe this is not his comfort zone or something, and maybe he is more a comedy guy. But in terms of first impressions on a young Tristan, who's this fucking cool guy? I want to see him do cool shit in every other next movie. Yeah, yeah.
Quite the heel.
That was one of my first things in the rewatch, but before I go off on a ranting thing, what about you guys? We all rewatched it this week. How did you guys find it? We'll start with the wives. Carol?
It's
being polite.
No, 50-50,
listen, sorry. It's been 25 years since I first watched this movie.
We think.
No, 24 years. Maybe. Maybe 20 years. I don't know.
You do some carbon dating.
And every year I watch it at least twice.
Yeah. It's true.
Even into my 30s.
This and the whole
I will just be like, you know what? It's a Romeo and Juliet kind of day. And I'll give it a
what
watch.
What kind of day is that?
It's like
a rainy day.
Sometimes it's when I'm at the beach wearing a suit and smoking a cigarette with my hair flopping over one eye.
Boom, 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 boom.
So cool. This movie was an introduction to Radiohead for me as well, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah, that song was cool.
It still is.
It's so cool. Mm.
It was amazing because I was watching it with fresh eyes with Tris.
Yeah.
I don't think we've watched it together.
It's Tristan. Yeah.
I don't think Tristan. Anyone on the show has heard him called Tris before.
Oh, yeah, that's what I call Tristan, guys. But it was really nice to watch the movie with Tris.
Oh.
With fresh eyes. He wouldn't let me talk about the movie because he was like, save it for the pod.
Yeah. So
but
here we go.
It was as amazing as I watched it when I was 12 years old.
Aww.
Yeah. Maybe even better because I feel like I understand things better now. And maybe I understand what they're saying a little bit better now than I did back then.
Mm.
But the fashion, the styling, the aesthetic, it's a feast for my eyes, thine eyes. You know?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I was actually going to watch it again today, but I didn't have time. That's how much
I loved
it.
There's never enough time.
There's never enough time
to satisfy Shakespeare.
They're there. Carol?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I love every viewing I have of this movie. It's interesting because I haven't watched it in a little while.
Yeah.
And I knew, you know, we're doing it for this podcast, got to have a critical eye on it. And there were definitely things I felt that were so OTT.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, I probably thought when I was 13 watching it, like, oh, my God, this is the coolest shit that I've ever seen. But now, you know, so many years later, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a bit much. And I know we'll get into it probably, but the Leo and Claire Danes anguish cry face screaming thing was just like, I laughed. I was like, oh, my God, it's too much. Yeah. But overall, I'm willing to overlook all of that stuff because there's so many member berries that come with this movie.
And Leo's hair.
And Leo, and and, you know, I read a couple of things in prep for the podcast.
Oh, no way.
And the number of times I see Leo and sexual awakening.
Smoldering. Smoldering Leo.
And that's like so true. Like whenever he came on screen, I was like, oh, God, yeah.
Something tingled.
Man, honestly, that was one of the first things I threw my phone, not taking notes on my phone, I just threw my phone down. I was like, what a fucking babe.
Yeah.
It's also intentional too. It reminded me of, you know, when we did From Dusk Till Dawn and the way Robert Rodriguez was talking about Clooney. It's like, I'm going to shoot this guy to show the world he's a star.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like
shots from the ground up to
all
show
these. All these iconic shots that are just basically like star making for Leo. Just like, this fucking guy, 100%. Guys, world, this is the fucking guy. Yeah. Put him in everything now.
Yeah.
Get obsessed, everyone.
That was very intentional. The long, lingering shots of him.
All like golden hour. Golden hour on the beach.
Just so beautiful. And I actually do love Claire Danes.
Yeah. I want to smoke right now.
Like Claire Danes in this movie is perfect. Like she's like so innocent, beautiful, just encapsulates what they were trying to do.
Capulence?
But I have to say, present day Claire Danes does not do it for me.
I'm like the opposite.
Oh my gosh, she annoys me so much.
Why?
But yeah, I think it's what movie is she in? Homeland, where she's always
a character. She's acting.
I know.
She's intense.
But I can't.
And, I had the opposite. I was like, oh, Claire Danes is awesome later in life.
But I also have newfound admiration for Mercutio, especially. I always thought Tybalt was cool. Like I always
so Mercutio was my man back in the day. That was the guy that me and my friends were like, how fucking cool is Mercutio? Wow. Which is pretty interesting considering he was in drag for half the time.
Well, it was, I think when I was 13, I didn't quite get it. I was like, oh, yeah.
I definitely didn't.
Oh, that's the other part I forgot to mention.
But now I appreciate it so much more. So cool.
Well, my memory of the movie I forgot to mention was that my dad and my stepmom saw it first at some event. And they were like, oh, it's stupid. And it's perfect because they definitely weren't ready for that version of
Shakespeare.
Romeo and Juliet Shakespeare, but also the drag and stuff. They're a bit old school. They're probably there now, but then they were like, oh, it's just silly.
Salacious. There's no need.
Whereas we were like, oh,
that's
my God.
Probably why I liked it, rebelling.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I think it's cool.
That was the whole bit, right?
Yeah.
It's a cool version of something that's old and stuffy.
Exactly. Mm.
And I read a thing where it was like the unexplored bisexuality of Mercutio, that he was in love with Romeo.
Oh.
But they were all like 14-year-old boys meant to be 16-year-old boys. Yeah. But it's sort of like you can be in love with your best friend but not actually in a sexual way.
It's just like romance.
True bromance.
Yeah, so that was like interesting when I read that.
He is so fucking cool.
Mm.
Speaking of disappointment, man, like he is so cool in this and he's cool in Oz. Remember Oz?
He has a great role in Oz.
And I think he ruined his career on Lost. He just kept trying to find his son Walt all the time. It's just him yelling into the ocean, Walt! Walt! And just
a plague on both your houses.
Being a bit of a weasel. Throwing plagues on houses and all kinds of shit on an island in Lost. But he was just the worst character. And I honestly think it tainted his career big time because he's fucking awesome. He's so good in this. A bit like a John Leguizamo scenario where I'm like, those two guys should have been in everything after this. But yeah. Anyway, more on that later. Greg, how was the rewatch for you?
Peaks and troughs. I think I enjoyed the start of it. I enjoyed the spectacle. The Lerman-esque, over-the-top shebang I was into. Yeah. I was like, there's a lot of colour going on here.
Yeah.
They've kept the language. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I want to see.
The shirts.
And the two different styles of dress, the two different houses.
I was much more conscious of that this time.
There was a lot going on and I was into it. And the soundtrack of it is incredible.
Yeah.
The cast we'll get into, but the cast is amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't love the leads.
I don't know how he got this cast, to be honest.
They're just an interesting, like, Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
The thespian.
Back to back from Tommy Boy to this.
Yeah, we've got to do the Gladiator next week.
Yeah.
I want a treble on a three-peat of Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
But it did get a bit tiresome for me.
Yeah.
I got a little bit worn out because it's pretty, like, it becomes over the top. And Claire and Leo's crying recitement, is that a word?
Yeah.
Of Shakespeare kind of like sucked, I thought.
I'm 100% on the same page as you with this. And I didn't realize it until Ara pointed out, we're watching the movie and I wasn't paying attention. Essentially, what were the most important bits? I was like, pay attention, the romance stuff. And I realized I fundamentally just can't get invested into the romance because they met once.
Yeah.
And that's not Baz Luhrmann's fault. That's Romeo and Juliet. But for me, I just can't get into that. But what I love about it is everything you said, the whole world in which this
the
exists.
The world around it is pretty
I'm
cool.
Like, this is so fucking cool. When this movie opens, every time I'm blown away, like, what the fuck is this? And it's so, it's definitely OTT to a point, Carol. But for me, I think I've gone full circle in the OTT-ness and I'm like, I love the OTT of it all. I'm just like, fuck it, more of everything.
The opening like, scene is great at the petrol station. I was totally into that.
It's amazing. And then I think I get a bit of a lull in the middle because I don't really care about them that much. And then it made me realize as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's a similar thing, not to the same extent, but there's a similar principle at play here I've realized when it comes to things like the Marvel films. I don't necessarily, I watch every single one. I don't think they're all amazing. But I'm always drawn to it because I want to see how they make it work in cinema. And there's always some clever twist from the comic to the movie that I'm always like, oh, that's so cool, which is kind of everything I like about this movie.
Same from a character perspective?
I think so. Well, I think that's a big part
Romeo
of it.
Romeo and Juliet are probably I'm probably least interested
my
in
My least interested.
Film.
Mercutio and Tybalt. And even when he kills Mercutio, the look on his face and he's like, what the fuck have I done? There's so much going on there.
Yeah, that's
I'm
the
just
interesting
so into
stuff.
It. And it's like once they're dead, it's like, yeah. The rest is epilogue or something.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because you're watching it all these years later that you missing the, you know, there's with the main leads like Leo and Claire, there's the whole like love and lust element. But now you're looking back and you're like, fucking, you met 3 days ago. Grow up, kids.
I think there's
like,
a bit of that.
That's so stupid. Mm.
I think I probably never was that emotionally invested in those two. But now, you're right, as an adult, probably even less so. And I buy more into like the meaningful relationships there of like Mercutio trying to look after his guy but then being caught in the crossfire and, you know, plague on both the houses, yada, yada, yada. To Bolt being just blindly loyal to his
house.
Montagues.
No, Capulets.
How dare you? How dare you?
Right. I had a 50-50 shot. Like that stuff is like the tension point for me. The rest is like, I mean, it still is a tension point. And I think I still get caught up in like, oh no, just wait a second. He just drank the point. Like that stuff, sure. But it's almost like, I don't know, that stuff, I don't know. I don't get that invested into it. The rest of it is very much, I'm on the edge of my seat. Even the beginning at the, to your point, the petrol station thing, I'm like, no, fuck, no.
Is it maybe the performances by the support cast are better?
Well, that was my main thing here. When I look at performances in this one, I did like Claire Danes more this time than what I did before. And again, Ara and I were watching some things last night and she made a point, I think, that she was sticking to a traditional delivery of the dialogue and Leo and the gang were doing more conversational, modern cadence and shit, which I thought was interesting. So I realized there was more at play there than I probably recognized in my younger years. But I think it's the supporting characters that were fucking awesome. Basically all of the Montagues were real. That whole opening, oh, they were all good. Jamie Kennedy was fucking
good. I was gonna say even the like they had this sort of nervous
frenetic
energy that was kind of cool.
But guys, maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point of the whole thing in that if the households weren't involved, they would have just had a regular teenage relationship and they would have broken up 3 months later.
Yeah. No,
but because of the turmoil between the Capulets and the Montagues, that's like where the drama should be and that's what's most exciting.
That is valid. They should have had the opportunity to break up. Almost, right?
It was too quick. It was 3 days. It was three, and then they were
3 dead.
3 days
later, like a lot of people had died.
Our first date was for 3 days.
We want to hear more about that.
P.S. The whole OTT thing.
Yeah.
Like I actually quite like the OTT-ness of some of the scenes, like that end with, you know, that gets...
Yeah, that was pretty beautiful. Yeah.
With the
church.
With the crosses,
when he's walking down
the
aisle.
It all looks so
like the heavily stylized bits.
Yeah, I actually loved it. I meant more
that's Luhrmann's bag.
I meant more the crying and the filming.
Oh, the zoom in.
Whoosh.
Oh, yeah. You called that in the first scene.
I was like, holy crap.
That was a bit jarring at first for me.
Yeah.
It's dated. Like that, as you said, that's dated. Like that was
It was very
cool at the
trendy
time.
At the time. But he did it in Strictly Ballroom as well. I think he probably did it in Moulin Rouge as well.
He did in Moulin Rouge as well.
Yeah.
Actually,
he did. But it does feel a bit like.
Better now.
What are you, like music video-y or like. Film school-y or something. It feels
That's
a bit amateur.
That's what they say. Very MTV-esque.
Because now it's all about the long shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Iñárritu doing 20 minutes of one single take.
Like that was all cool. Like the shirts, the costumes.
The shirts
the
were.
The setting, the everything was still very relevant and looked amazing.
The shirts
and
would
I
sell
think
now.
The shirts with now, you know, versus right 12-year-old Tristan with a more sophisticated fashion palette as
if you don't
as sweetened by
as he says in his stubbies
show.
And singlet.
Yeah, some punk clothes.
Ara definitely
so you agree
style
with me.
Pants.
I didn't like I just always like, oh yeah, the Hawaiian shirts. But looking at these shirts, these must have been custom made by Mrs. Lerman because she does the costumes, right?
Mrs.
Well,
Lerman's
Mom,
a lord of costumes.
Yeah, she does all the costumes. She's won all the Oscars. She's I don't know if he's won an Oscar, but she's won Oscars, right? And she must have made these shirts from scratch because these shirts are fucking amazing. And they're not just Hawaiian. They're in the style of Hawaiian shirts, I suppose. But they're very unique looking.
They're great. Yeah. Well, they would cost a fortune.
Yeah.
That's, I mean.
So floppy.
Like you guys growing up in Australia, Mambo, that would have been a thing, right? Because that
I never
was the
wore
shirts
those ones.
That the boys in
That went straight
Singapore,
to the dads, those shirts.
14-year-old boys were wearing.
We weren't wearing them.
It's interesting because I've started following Reg. What's his name? The Mambo guy on Instagram.
Mombasa.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm ready for more of this guy.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
I saw him at Sydney Art Fair, and I wanted to go up and introduce myself.
His daughter's a comedian.
It'd be cool to have art of his on the walls.
Yeah, he's fucking cool. I used to mimic it. I used to draw shit trying to do Mambo things. Yeah, so fucking cool. 30% probably don't know what we're talking about. Mambo was a cool brand in the 90s, man. Australian.
Well,
he's an iconic
30% plus.
He's an iconic artist.
Like, plus Singapore. They had no Mambo.
So 31%.
30.2%.
A bit more on cast because I think the magic of the cast spreads out even further beyond to Bolton Mercutio. We've got Paul Sorvino there in a fucking scary.
Oh, he's awesome.
So fucking scary.
He is Mia Savino's dad.
He went after Weinstein at one point.
Yeah.
Because he limited her career in some way. There was,
yeah,
some,
there was something
fucked up that happened there and he was basically like this character. I'll fucking kill him.
I feel like he's one of those terrific sort of a little bit of a typecast.
Yeah.
In a good way.
He has gravitas, that's for sure.
Oh, He lets it unleash in this.
Yeah.
Guys, I was so scared of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's scary.
When he unleashes on Juliet.
That's fucked. That's fucking scary, man.
Ooh. That's good. It was appropriate for this.
Yes.
I was like, that's a good.
Yeah. But that scene, the crying anguish thing that Clint Ames.
He's good in all his scenes. Yeah. Like, and the last scene when they're kind of on the courthouse steps or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Realizing that both their kids are dead and the policeman's kind of berating them.
Yeah.
And they're both sort of standing there paralyzed. That's a great scene.
And on that, Dennehy doesn't actually do much in this movie, but he does a lot. I don't think he has any lines almost, but he's
I couldn't think of
presence wise, especially doing this the week after Tommy Boy, you almost don't even realize it's the same guy.
This is linear for you guys.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He is that's without dialogue, and he is a completely different human in these two movies that came out a year apart as well.
Yeah.
That's acting, man. Well, I don't know what it is, how they do it, but it's acting.
Yeah, what they've done, what they've studied, some kind of dark arts. What I learned last week, which I might have read in the past and forgotten, very likely, he was a thespian. His body of work skews heavily to theatre.
Right.
Perfect.
And he's done a lot of Shakespeare stuff.
Hmm.
So I don't know if him getting cast in this was a bit of a nod to that, or he was just like, well, you need.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the background of that, but very appropriate.
Also,
a light role.
Montague's mum.
She's
Friends.
Oh, she's so intense. Oh, she's from Friends.
Yeah, she's Ross Geller and Monica Geller's mum.
Oh, she is.
Oh, is
God,
she?
She's.
No, Montague, not
she's
Capulet.
She's Mrs. Geller.
Yeah, she is. But the intense one is not Juliet's mom, Capulet. Yeah, okay. She's great.
She's fantastic in this too.
In this, yeah.
Now, guys, let's be honest with ourselves. The biggest difference in watching this in 1996 versus watching it in 2021 is, of course, Paul Rudd.
Oh, my God.
He, as somewhat of a background character back in the 90s, a handsome astronaut and whatnot. Now, it's hard to watch it and not think of it as a comedic performance. He's hilarious and great
funny.
In this.
He's so funny. The
dancing?
The thing where he does it, this flicking of his hands.
He's running his tits off. God. He's doing all the Rudd stuff that we know and love today, but before we knew what we were looking at. It's amazing.
And he knew.
He knew.
He's actually Paul Rudd.
He stayed true to himself this whole time. He's like, I'm just going to act in movies and eventually the world will catch on to this thing that I do, which is magical.
And congratulations, Paul Rudd. The world has caught on.
Yeah.
Him.
You are now Ant-Man.
My God.
Him, also Tybalt.
Oh.
And a few others. They have all not aged.
Yeah, actually. Oh, yeah.
They're all vampires.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Tybalt is, he's been around.
Tybalt's good. He looks good for his, like,
he's been around for ages. Well, I traced it back, and I think, I can't remember the numbers because I've left my notes. I left my notes at home today, folks.
He's got some good banter on Steven Seagal.
He does.
Yeah. He runs like a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, he calls him out on was it Letterman or?
On Arsenio, of course.
Ah, the great man.
When you get into Lat Pack, R and I give each other this look.
They've left.
Sorry, guys. I zoned out.
They're going into Lat Pack.
We'll skip back out because there's so much here that isn't Lat Pack.
Yeah. But it would be better if there was.
Yeah.
Like JC as Mercutio.
Oh, my goodness.
Dolph as Tybalt.
No, JC
I've just
Tybalt.
Recasted the two best actors in the movie.
Just make I think where they went wrong with The Expendables was it wasn't a Shakespeare film.
It was close, I thought.
It was Shakespeare-esque.
Do we want to talk about our favourite Shakespearean remakes?
I've got a list here.
With your list, I want to know if Romeo and Juliet makes it.
Romeo and Juliet? Romeo? I didn't write in there.
Yeah, there's a cartoon where it's like garden gnomes and one's called Romeo.
What about Romeo and Juliet? Have you seen Romeo and Juliet?
No.
Troma Films is one of those, it's what is it, sort of like exploitation B-grade movies.
Oh, wow.
They did like Toxic Avenger. It's like they would show it late night on the Comedy Channel in Australia. There'll be these Troma films, but Romeo and Juliet is one of them and it's like sort of a comedy, sort of just gross.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also on Romeo and Juliet specifically, of course, there's Romeo Must Die. There's that movie Warm Bodies from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. The zombie. Carol liked that one.
Yeah.
Teresa Palmer.
That was, there's She's Little Aussie. Little Italy most
I
recently.
I also watched you lived that there. One.
Apparently, that's a terrible, terrible movie. No, but it's Little Italy in Canada. Apparently.
It's a Netflix movie.
It's
and
a
when,
bad movie.
When Greg goes to podcasts once a week, sometimes I watch some trashy movie on Netflix.
Fair enough. I actually
and I watched
watch
that
it.
Recently.
Because they're from competing pizza shops.
Yes.
Interesting.
And Hayden Christensen dyed his hair black because he's Italian.
Isn't that isn't that Bob's Burgers as well?
Kind of. It's basically Bob's
Little,
Burgers.
Little Jimmy's dad has the shop down the road.
Tito. The Lion King 2. Oh. Simba's Pride.
Oh, yeah, Simba's Pride. But number one is Hamlet.
It's Hamlet. Number two is apparently Romeo and Juliet.
No, number one's about a nitty bitty pig.
Get it? Small ham.
What?
Hamlet.
What movie is that from? Is it Dangerous Minds?
This came up last week.
Yeah, I know, but I can't remember.
Yeah, we think it's Dangerous Minds. West Side Story is Romeo and Juliet. But what about some other 90s/early 2000s Shakespeare's remakes? We've got 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
We got
Classic.
O. We mentioned O.
Who's in that?
Julia Stiles, and I don't know the guy. But
it was like Othello, right?
Othello, yeah.
But his name was Omar in it. And it's a high school basketball.
Yeah.
It's Mekhi Phifer.
That's the thing. It's he captured, like, that story is from, like, what, 400 years ago?
I don't know that one works quite as well. Clueless is not Shakespeare.
Jane Austen.
But yeah, Jane Austen.
And probably better than most.
She's the Man, which we watched the other night.
I love that movie.
It's funny than I was expecting. I wanted to watch a bad movie.
I feel so bad for Amanda Bynes.
Confession time. Me too. 100%.
Like, the trajectory she's on now, but that movie is so good.
100%.
Do you love cheese?
Yeah. I put that movie on as like, let's watch a bad movie. And it is a bad movie, but I laughed out loud on several times.
So good.
And she's just fucking crazy in it. Like almost like a Jim Carrey type where you're like, I don't know anyone else that could play this role. The whole thing is ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. It's the whole thing that makes no sense. But there's something about that that is quite charming.
Keep going.
Agreed. And it's based on The Twelfth Night by William Shakespeare. The Lion King is Itty Bitty Pig. And Get Over It with Kirsten Dunst is Midsummer Night's Dream, apparently.
What about Bring It On?
I believe that's based on the Corsican Twins.
Apparently the best adaptation was a Kurosawa film. He did a version of Macbeth.
Oh.
Which sounds pretty red hot.
Right. Perhaps we should. Let's do it.
Watch that and pretend we know something about film. Because that's pretty highbrow stuff, the old Kurosawa, right?
Actual film, yeah.
It's an actual film.
Actual film.
Well, we can't talk about this movie without talking about the soundtrack.
Man.
Guys.
So good.
So good.
What are the Radiohead songs on it? They've got his Exit.
Exit was
he's the last
Exit song. Apparently Baz Luhrmann sent Radiohead the last scene of the movie and said, write a song that you feel based off of this for the end credits. And it was in the end credits, but I don't think it was on the official soundtrack.
We should have done that for the podcast.
Written to Radiohead.
I love that.
That's what I mean.
Cool.
We should do that for this.
And I don't think it was on the official soundtrack, but it ended up being on OK Computer or whatever. Was it OK Computer, the next album? Yeah. It was on that.
It was.
But it was written for this, based off the last scene. That's why it fits so well. Baz says it's the best closing credits music ever because it just like puts a cap on the whole thing.
A capulent?
Yeah. I listened to the album this week.
It's good.
What's your favorite song on the album?
I love one of these because it brings back all the memories. But just the way it starts with Garbage, like Shirley, what's her name?
Shirley Garbage.
Temple.
Shirley Manson?
I can't remember.
Yes, it is Shirley Manson. Shirley Temple.
Like just that song that starts the album. So good.
Garbage was really cool. And then as a small child, I saw her interviewed and she said something like, I like to pee in boys' belly buttons. And I was too young to know it.
Garbage, so I didn't like
it. I was so young and I was like, what? Even sex was gross at that point. That's triple gross. Anyway, nice segue. Should we get into the verdict?
I don't know what to say, really.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
I am the law.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I want to have them answered immediately.
You can't handle the truth.
What are you waiting for?
Say what again? I dare you.
Nothing further,
Your Honor.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Sounded like a harsh right turn. That's because it is, because we have to go to dinner soon. But let's get into the verdict here.
That's right, people.
Wives of the show, is this a rewatch for you? I think I know your answer, but please, let's make it official.
It's a rewatch.
It's a rewatch.
As Australians like to say, 100%.
Aye.
What? As Australians like to say.
Yeah, it's an Australian thing.
Is it?
100%.
Wait. We did not invent percentages.
Let me go again.
You Australians.
Other countries like to say 90%.
You've lived here for most of your life.
Yeah, I think you are getting citizenship. Okay, let me start again.
Okay, Blondie. The girls have necked
100%.
100%. It is a rewatch.
It's a rewatch.
For sure.
Now, Greg, I feel like this is going to be interesting. What do you think?
I think it is a rewatch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think even just for the – it's an like experiment. It's a grand experiment.
It's a very solid experiment.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. Like I don't – you know, like it gets messy. I think messy is the right word.
I think I could rewatch the opening a lot.
Yeah, but I think stylistically I'm like, I'm all about it.
Man.
It's making big bets. It's got an amazing cast.
It's a big swing, you're right. And I like a big swing.
Yeah, we talk about it often. We love big swings.
Yeah, and even if you certainly miss, I'd rather watch a big swing in a miss.
Probably my favourite Baz Luhrmann film.
I would agree. I was going to say, I think it's this is almost.
It's got lots of colour. I like colour.
Yeah. He's only made five movies, but
soundtrack. Boom.
Five
soundtrack
movies,
alone
really.
Gives this film a rewatch to remind you of the sound, to listen to the soundtrack. Yeah. That's where I land.
Well, I will say that I think, Greg, you captured everything I was thinking. So I'm going to use this opportunity to say, Greg and Carol, watch The Get Down. Because it is good.
Tristan, I have.
It's good, right?
Gregory has it.
You should watch. Nas was involved.
I really enjoy
Nas
it.
Was involved. This is Nas was involved. All right,
I really enjoy it.
I know the first one is quite.
All right, I'll
it's
watch
very
it.
Bad,
Carol,
but then
just,
it.
Carol watches these things when I'm here. So.
No, it is good. You can watch this in your own time.
Let's go eat
it
some
It is
wagyu.
Good. And it's everyone out there at home as well. Watch it. It's fucking great. The Get Down
I haven't
is good.
Watched season two, though.
We want to name our kid Ezekiel because he's such a great kid.
All right, well, let's talk about this at dinner.
Good anyway, name. We've got to wrap this up because we have a dinner reservation. Thank you, Wives of the Show,
thank
for joining
you,
us.
Show.
We really appreciate
You're
it and we
welcome.
Love you guys.
That was
Thanks
fun.
For having us.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Welcome back.
Such a pleasure.
Welcome back to your house anytime. You're welcome to your anytime. Yoga room or whatever it is that you move our furniture for.
Friends
Each
of the show,
week.
Thank you for joining us once again. We hope you enjoyed getting to hear the whole family talk about this
one. Yeah, Seymour's been a very good boy tonight.
Seymour's been a good boy. There's been a bit of face smudging on the carpet and a bit of shaky-shakies here and there, but hopefully you haven't heard too much.
If Bruce and Lola were here, it would not be the same.
Wrapping things up, next week we're going to be doing Gone in 60 Seconds with Nicolas Cage.
Really?
Bye.
I did not know that. Bye. That's cool.